Backseat Box Office, episode number 76, for the weekend of March 2nd through the 4th, 2012. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we've got mouse traps on our junk.
Thanks, Lena.
Sorry, we got distracted. We've already gotten distracted by the chat room. We are the Backseat Producers.
Lena's night has apparently been much more engaging than mine.
Yeah, indeed.
So... we're back. I'm back.
You're back.
And I apologize sincerely to both of my co-hosts and really the whole community for my absence last week. It was inexcusable. I know I've hurt you. I've hurt your families, and I'm sorry.
Actually, truth be told, it's probably a good thing that you didn't show up last week, because if you had shown up and put on air a Relativity Media film in first place, I would have immediately...
We would have had ridiculously low scores all over the place.
I would have immediately, like, dropped it to, you know, 8.
You know, I listened to the episode yesterday, and you guys were pretty... I mean, you guys were pretty down. I don't think it would have taken much to push you guys to put Acts of Valor further down as it was.
No.
You guys were not,
it would not
very
have.
Secure.
No, it wouldn't have taken much at all. But hey, we didn't put Gone at number one.
That's true.
And that happened a couple times this week.
Was that the Beast Family, I think?
Yeah.
Two-thirds
of the Beast Family.
We had four of the 19 people that regularly participate. I think one did not participate this week, I think, if memory serves. But four people of our 19 regular players got single-digit scores this week.
Ouch.
There was a 1. There was a 2. And there was a 5 and a 9. But, yeah. Yeah, it was rough for a few people this week. But we had some 23s also. So it wasn't all bad.
I don't know about you guys, but I assume the silence is because we're all typing in the chat room. I assume that's what everybody...
I'm actually not typing in the chat room. Well, since I brought everybody down with that, I'll just keep it low before we really get into the fun of the episode. Some of you may have seen, and some of you may have commented, and I thank the people that have commented. We had a death in our family this week, and one of our one of the babies that we had before we had human babies, Cal, my dog, he passed away this week. He would have turned 12 at the end of March, and as near as we could tell. When we went to get the dogs, we went to... Julie had in mind we were going to get an older female dog because she thought it would be calmer. She thought it would just be better all the way around. We ended up leaving with 2 male puppies. We got them in May, and Riley was 8 weeks old from one litter, from a different litter. Cal, my dog, was 6 weeks old. And so they've been raised together since they were puppies. As near as we can tell, they just about, if we did the math backwards, they just about shared... Julie's birthday was shared with Cal, with Riley, and Cal's birthday was shared with me. When I got him as a baby, I picked up this little fat fur ball, and Julie's saying, female dogs. And there's about 7 of these little fat fur balls crawling all over each other, and the person who's there with him says, there's only 1 male. So I pick up this dog, and I look at it, it's clearly a boy dog. All right, so I put him down, and the dogs are all crawling over each other. So I grab another one. I look, it's the same one because it's a boy, and I kind of hold him up, and he kind of flops over and just puts his head on my chest. And it's like,
aww.
Oh, you are coming home with me. and it, I mean, it was pretty much like that from then on. But it was very sudden. He was not sick. It was something that happens in larger dogs, and he wasn't a big dog, but I guess he kind of tipped the. He was on the low end of what's considered a big dog, and they have a thing where their stomach can twist, and it happened to him, and it happened pretty quickly. We did realize it was happening. We tried to get him to the vet, and he didn't make it till we got to me trying to get him to the vet. And it's been a sad couple of days, but he was a good dog, and I would bet he's probably been part of some of these podcasts if you listen really carefully. But yeah, so it's been kind of a week, and some things have been a little later than normal, and some things have been kind of goofy, but it's rough, but. You know, a lot of people have said a lot of nice things, and I just wanted to say something and mention it because, you know, it's the podcast has been part of me now for almost 6 years, so it's kind of hard not to share when the good and the bad things happen. So that's all I'm going to say about bringing people down and all that. But he's in a better place. He never got old. He never got sick. He was healthy earlier in the day when he died. And, you know, I really couldn't ask for a whole lot more.
Well, man, my sympathies on your loss. It's always hard when you lose a long-term pet that you're close to.
Yep. And, you know, I probably had a little more ouzo last night when we were recording than I normally would have. But it's okay because I have beer tonight.
I'm also drinking a beer. What are you putting down there?
I just finished Two Crafting. I'm now on to Diet Pepsi because I do need to work tomorrow. So
I'm drinking a Schlafly from your town right there, yep. Your neck of the woods.
Yep.
Winter ESB Ale.
Very good.
It is nice and malty. It's got a nice little bitter to it. It's very good. Very, very nice. Very nice.
Excellent.
I had a Bacchus last night that was quite good.
Tell me about it.
It might have been my third beer, so I don't really remember it that well.
I mean, is it? Because I'm not familiar with it. Is it light? Is it dark? Is it local? Is it national?
It's a. The honest truth is, I don't really know.
Fair enough.
I got it from a local bar. Pizza joint thing, and they have about a billion brews on tap, and this just happened to be one that was recommended. It's I don't know how to describe it because it's a beer that's, I'm assuming it's made a bit like another beer that I like because it tasted a bit like another beer I like called La Folie by New Belgium, and I know that La Folie is brewed and then aged. They stick it into oak barrels and age it forever, you know, like wine or whiskey. And it comes out very sour and very, I don't know, there's a lot to the beer. It's not bitter like hoppy, not like an IPA. It's sour, citrusy, and it's I really like it. But it's like you have to really sip it and, you know, take your time with it. And Bacchus was a little bit like that, only not quite so hardcore as La Folie. So it was really good, but I don't remember. I can't even remember, to be honest with you, what the brewery was. The beer is called Bacchus, but I don't remember off of the menu what they had as the brewery. So there you go.
Well, I think I may have found it. Is it perhaps Bacchus Beer Brewing Company?
It might be. The thing is, the beer was called, the name of the beer was Bacchus. I don't remember if the brewery was as well. I don't know if it was the same thing. So,
ooh, how about this? Bacchus Frambosenbitter, a sour ale / wild ale beer by Brüwers von Hunsbruck, a brewery in Ingelmunster.
That is easy for you to say.
Really, is it? It really isn't easy at all.
That sounds promising. And add to that, looking at these, I don't know. Looking at, I'm not seeing anything described here that makes it sound like what I had.
Engelmunster is apparently in Belgium, so I probably shouldn't be using quite a heavy German sound to my words. But
I tell you what, I will research it and get back to you. And by research it, I mean go to the restaurant again.
If you're willing to undertake a trip to a restaurant to buy beer just to find that out for me, I will owe you something next time I see you, because that is sacrificing for me, and I appreciate it.
Going to have some more tasty beer. Sacrifice.
Tasty beer.
Just for you.
Well, speaking of sacrifice, not so much for me, maybe, but for some of us, especially perhaps two-thirds of the Beast family, they were almost were sacrificial scores on the altar this week, because Act of Valor did indeed debut at number one with 24.4 million. Surprisingly, you know, I did pick Act of Valor number one, but I thought it was going to be a lot closer between Act of Valor and Tyler Perry's Good Deeds.
And realistically, if you listen carefully to what Jonathan and I said last week, we predicted Good Deeds would make 25. It underperformed. If it would have made the 25 that we thought it would have beaten Act of Valor. Good Deeds would have.
I mean, it would have. Improves our decision making process, any Tony?
Well, what it does, what it validates what we were saying, that it would have beaten Act of Valor had it made 25, but it
didn't. I guess
that's
true. Yes.
But it didn't. I mean, our mistake was not underestimating Act of Valor. We overestimated Good Deeds. Because we were very clear in what we thought Good Deeds would make. We said 25.
I certainly expected Good Deeds to come out in the 20 millions, somewhere in the 20 millions as well. Because as you guys talked about, he has a very consistent track record on his opening weekend box office.
Right.
And this one crashed.
Yeah, it didn't live up at all. Not even close.
I mean, it debuted at number two with 15.5 million. So I would agree that Good Deeds underperformed by quite a bit.
And
at number three, though. Oh, sorry.
No. That's the way it goes sometimes.
Now, here's the one that surprised me. Journey 2 actually jumped up a spot from number four to number three this past weekend. It brought in 13.3 million, only dropping 32% from its previous weekend box office gross.
It may have seemed surprising, but I don't. Looking at it now, it's pretty clear that that's really, other than The Secret World of Arrietty, there's really not another big movie that a family could go see.
Star Wars Episode One.
I think the people that wanted to see that saw it at this point.
And I would agree with you, but it is a big family mover. But you're probably right.
And it's in less than half the theaters that Journey 2 is in.
That is true.
So, I mean, that's something to say for it also. Journey 2...
Well, then also the...
Journey 2 had the most theaters last weekend.
Well, and then I would also say the part of it, I mean, you make good points there, but I would also say that I think the big thing for me is that the next two movies, Safe House and The Vow, dropped a lot more than I was expecting.
They did drop considerably.
Because Safe House was at number four with 10.9 million. It was a 53% drop. The Vow was at number five with 9.9 million, and that was a 57% drop. So I was in my little mass here, scribbled down on my index card, I was not expecting that much of a loss at the box office.
Yeah, it was rough. Not as rough as the week before.
No, and you know, I was kind of sad I missed last week because I wanted to talk about how bad Ghost Rider was, but I also wasn't that sad about missing it because of how badly I and really all of us
did. Everybody did.
Except for that William guy. I mean, he was smart enough not to put Ghost Rider number one.
That's true. That happened.
What do you have at number one again?
I don't remember now. It was...
I think it was The Vow.
I think it was. and it did not come close. It was rough. Yeah.
So I believe I may have edged out you fine gentlemen for the lead amongst the hosts this past weekend.
True, you did. Though, looking at the overall scores, the bromance continues.
But I'm on top. Yep, Jonathan and I are again tied.
At this point, I'm all right with it, mostly just because we are both continuing to make progress towards overtaking Tony.
That's true. That's true. You guys are inching upward. You are now one full point behind me. Mm-hmm. And 25 weeks in, that means you are 25 points behind me.
I'm just saying, if by inching up you mean Tony continues to bomb and his average continues to fall, then I would agree.
Yeah, there's 12 more weeks left, it's guys.
Tony, that's only 2 or 3 points a week.
I know. At the rate I'm falling comparatively, you guys are going to overtake me. It's going to happen.
So here's how things worked out for me. I had Active Valor at number one. That was spot on. I had Good Deeds at number two. That was spot on. And then as I kind of alluded to earlier, Journey 2 kind of took a bite out of me. It was at number three. I had it at number five. So that was 2 points. And so Safe House and The Vow, I had in the right order, but I had them at 3 and 4 instead of 4 and 5. That cost me another point each for a total of -4 points, leaving me with at 21 for this past week. And Jonathan, how'd you do?
Well, not too bad, all things considered. I flip-flopped Act of Valor and Good Deeds, which cost me 3 points total there. And then I flip-flopped Journey 2 and Safe House, which cost me 2 points. I got The Vow in the right place for a total of 20. Unfortunately, I'm now sharing the number 10 spot again. But it's only a matter of time.
I'm on top, so it's all okay, right?
That's all right. That's all right.
Tony,
yep.
How'd you do, buddy?
My biggest mistake was Wanderlust. I way overestimated that one. So I picked Good Deeds at number one, Act of Valor at number two. Those were, as we've alluded to, reversed, so I lost 3 points there. You were talking about Journey 2 and how it surprised you. Didn't surprise me. I had it in third. I had Safe House in fourth. Those were right. Where my biggest stumble was Wanderlust, which came in eighth this week. I had it in fifth. I thought it was going to pull in more of an audience. It had a lot of advertising. I kept seeing advertising for it. I saw more advertising for that than I've seen for Act of Valor. So I thought that would have pulled in a little more box office. Clearly, it did not.
Hey, did you guys know that Act of Valor was filmed with active duty Navy SEALs?
I did hear that.
I heard something about that.
It's kind of a subtle fact, but I did hear about that the other day on this kind of insider podcast I was listening to.
I actually heard something that I didn't know, though. Apparently, they use live ammunition for all of the scenes.
What?
That's so much more awesome.
So, basically, this movie was Tropic Thunder? Is that what you're telling me?
I still have to go see this.
All I know is that apparently they used live ammunition, and that just, as Alex, my other co-host from The Way of the Game, said, that just seems to be so much unnecessary and dangerous.
They're Navy SEALs, man. Everything they do is dangerous.
Yeah, so just to make mention, we mentioned earlier that four people had single-digit scores. Three of those people picked Gone at number one. Gone came in ninth place. Each of those people immediately took a 16-point hit.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. The sad thing is one of them was only 1 point off with each of their other picks. Yeah. So even with the 16-point hit, they still got a 5. So that's rough. That is rough. Though we kind of didn't figure it would make that much money either.
Wasn't Gone the one where the studio was predicting it would make in the low single digits?
Yeah.
Low to middle single digits.
Low to middle single digits. And you know what? I think it actually succeeded. It actually met that expectation. So,
when? I don't know if that's an if meeting that expectation counts as success so much as,
you know, low to middle, I would think is somewhere between. I mean, if we're gonna say low to middle, I would say that's somewhere between 3 and 5 million. It made 4.77 million, so I think that's pretty good considering what they thought it was gonna make. I don't know that the studio thought that. I think that was predicted maybe by Box Office Mojo.
No. It was.
There was one.
Was it Summit, the studio?
Summit is predicting for Gone an opening, and this is where, no, it actually failed, an opening in the mid to high single digits. Oh,
yes, it did fail.
And it was Summit themselves.
I would still say that's mid. 4 to 6, I would say, is mid. It's on the low end of mid.
Yeah, but they were expecting mid to high.
Yeah, so it wasn't high.
I would say the 6 to 8 range.
Yeah, they were high. It wasn't high. Not at all.
Anyway.
All right, so last weekend happened. We've moved past it. There's only two new movies coming out this week, which hopefully will make things a little easier for all of us.
One in which we try to save the trees, and one in which we set a tree on fire.
I mean, I think one of these is going to be very easy to place. The other,
yeah.
I am less sure about.
Yeah. So, Father Beast, if you're listening to this, make sure that the rest of your family pays attention to what we do with one of these two movies, because it's probably going to be kind of important for them. Everybody pay attention.
We should really be doing some sort of PSA, probably. Oh, wait, that's the podcast.
Yeah. We do this so you don't have to. We do all the work for you. You can agree with us or not, but we've done the research. We give you what we've thought about, the pieces of information that we've gathered, like squirrels foraging in the fall, storing this information, and then giving you a map to our hidey holes so that you can do with that information what you will.
You're starting to sound like Sam.
That was awesome. I thought you were going to stop, but you just kept going with it. You kept going with that metaphor. That was awesome.
So here's the hidey hole. The podcast is the hidey hole. You're welcome. If you don't choose to use it, we can't be blamed.
The only problem is sometimes we forget which nuts we buried in which hole.
That's...
And sometimes we dig up the rotten nuts accidentally.
Yeah. Yeah. This past weekend, Gone Dylan dogged some people. And that's an example of, we just didn't do a good enough job of informing.
That's fair.
I'm not sure how we could have done better, though.
Or they didn't do good enough job of listening.
Yeah. let's be honest here. We used the mid to high single digits line a couple of times.
I think we mocked Gone pretty mercilessly. Yeah, I think the only thing we could do differently is on the show notes, put in bold letters, don't pick Gone at all. Gone is Dylan dog of February 2012.
We could have also done the, even if you put this movie in your top five, we're just going to take it right out for you.
Yeah. We'll put in...
It's the Green Lantern rule.
We'll put in Ghost Rider for you. It's not going to be that great. It's not going to do that well for you. We'll bump everything else up, and we'll just put Ghost Rider in at number five for you. It's, you know what? In some of these cases, this one person that was 1 point off on all their picks, now that I'm looking at it, Ghost Rider was already there. Ghost Rider was in the fifth place pick. Damn it. Can't really use that as an example.
I tell you what,
at the very least, we could just flip-flop the one and two. you know?
Yeah, so just so it wouldn't be as painful.
Yeah, that's not, you know, being overly helpful, but it at least cuts out that, you know, double points.
To be fair, that would have meant two of these people would have gotten their number one pick right. Because they had active valor at number two. So it just flipped it into number one.
I'm just saying, when I walked out of the movie theater a couple weeks ago after watching Ghost Rider, I just stared up at the stars, you know, kind of drank deep of the night. I was like, oh, God, we are so screwed. Because I knew we'd all picked Ghost Rider number one.
Your email.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, your email that night was, I saw that and my heart kind of sank a little bit.
It's like, it's just, I liked the first Ghost Rider movie, and the second was just so bad.
That's disappointing.
So bad.
I will probably wait to see it later. Because I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it, but I'll wait.
Do you guys have a dollar theater? Go when it's in the dollar theater.
Yeah. Yeah, we maybe. Well, it's a $3 theater. It's a buck and a half on Tuesdays. So
Redbox it.
Yeah. Go on Tuesday. Yeah. Or Redbox. Tuesday or Redbox.
If I want popcorn, I'll just go.
Microwave.
It can be No, microwave popcorn doesn't compare.
Well, then make some real popcorn.
Have a Cub Scout in the house? Don't you have like tins in your garage of this stuff?
Not anymore. It's gone now. Moving on. Let's talk about these two movies.
Yeah.
Wait. Sure. So I think the giant 600-pound gorilla at the box office this weekend is going to be The Lorax.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody's predicting it.
Yes.
And it's in nearly 4,000 theaters.
Yeah.
I saw 3,055.
3,751 is what I see on
Wow.
All right. Well, I'm going to listen to you and assume
3,728.
I switched them. I wrote that down next to Project X on my little note card here.
Project X is 3,055.
Yes.
Yeah, my mistake.
Yes, it is.
And I apologize deeply for any pain or trauma this may have caused you or your loved ones. Yeah, The Lorax. I mean, it's got voice talent from Danny DeVito, Ed Helms, Rob Riggle, who I love, Taylor Swift, who I'm less crazy about, and Zac Efron. And you know, it's the next Dr. Seuss adaptation from Fox Animation. I think Jonathan said it best. We're gonna save some trees.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit funny to me that they're using a car to advertise The Lorax. Now, I understand that it's supposed to be a hybrid crossover, but you're still using a car to advertise The Lorax.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's fossil fuel. That's not trees. No, it's not like they're using paper to wait.
Yeah.
They are. Their movie posters are made out of paper.
I don't know how much we really need to say about The Lorax. But
it's going
to
make a ton of money.
It's The Lorax. Yeah. I mean, come on.
It's going to make a buttload of money.
Yeah.
And I will
be... Big budget animation. Looks gorgeous.
I will be shocked if it is not a clear winner this week.
Agreed.
Yeah, and by clear, I mean...
Double the next...
$50 million. It'll make $50 million. Easy.
Potentially... I'm gonna
say that. 40 to 50.
The rest of the top five combined, it makes more than...
Potentially. I think it could be close, but I think it's going to be close if it doesn't just beat them all outright.
This is a gimme, Lorax number one.
Indeed,
the only way the Lorax is not going to be number one is if every digital copy and physical copy of it catches fire spontaneously across the nation on Thursday night, Friday morning maybe, let's say.
Yeah,
and yeah, we can give them the midnight releases.
Yeah, that won't put
in,
them number
in
one.
In the next 45 minutes as we're recording this.
And if that does happen, we here at Backseat Box Office in no way are involved and do not
You know what, if it happens, I'm probably not gonna edit this till tomorrow anyway. I'll just clip this out.
This could be the lost episode. The only people who know about it are BD, Lena, and William Paul, and suddenly strange accents start occurring to them. I know this is off topic. I think I'm going to go to a midnight release next week.
Oh, really? Hunger Games?
Nope, Mass Effect 3, baby.
You know what? I don't have to. It's been pre-ordered for me.
I pre-ordered it. I just want to be there at midnight to pick it up.
Well, this is... I can't... Unfortunately, we don't have an Amazon store here, so...
Okay. I just pre-ordered through Best Buy, who is also having a midnight release for it.
Excellent. Excellent.
So...
I'm still working my way through Mass Effect 2, so I've got a little ways to go.
I'm deliriously happy, because way back in the day, I was a late adopter of Xbox Live, so I had... an account for the first 5 years that was not Xbox Live enabled. And somehow, and I played Mass Effect 1 and 2 on that, and somehow, when I did make an Xbox Live account, somehow I did not get my old actual account to be that account. It would not let me do that. So I had to create one from scratch. And the other day, I was sitting there, I was like, man, I want that, because I didn't get any of the DLC from Mass Effect 2, and I heard someone was really good, and... I was like, I wonder if I could replay Mass Effect 1 and 2 in the next 2 weeks before 3 comes out.
You know, you don't need to.
But then, well, real quick, I think they're going to do that thing where you can pick the main plot points.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Well, my friend, Joe Selby, tweeted at me and was like, hey, you know, they've changed a lot since you've tried to do that last. Why don't you see if you can do it now? And sure enough, I figured out a way to bodge it. So that I got my save files back into my actual Xbox Live account.
Oh, very nice.
So that just happened tonight, so I'm pretty... I was actually had to stop all my DLC downloading to come record with you guys, so I had to have bandwidth.
Fantastic.
Because I had this... I can't pronounce. Cerebus network card that I got with the game that has sat in the Mass Effect 2 box since I bought it, and I actually activated it.
Tonight. I just activated mine... Well, I just got the game for Valentine's Day. So I activated mine. What's funny is when I started playing it, there's this little that little window opens up there on the side that says, and what it told me was, thank you for the year we've had of the Cerebus network. This will now be dormant except for the week before the next DLC, and then 2 weeks before the recent release of Mass Effect 3 later in 2011. And so this was mid-February, and so you know it's 3 weeks before the release. So I guess it was over the weekend the first message popped up, and it was something like, "There's bombing. There's been bombings occurring on this planet. No one really knows what's going on." So it's like little teasers for story points that are coming up for Mass Effect 3. It's kind of cool.
I am hot and bothered for Mass Effect 3. I'm a fanboy, and I don't mind admitting it. I am ready. So, let's talk about another new release.
Project X. This looks like it is, I guess just from the bits of it I've seen in the trailers, the teaser trailers and stuff, it looks like it's a cross between something like Superbad, American Pie, Animal House, and Cloverfield.
When, of course, the Cloverfield references to the style, it's in which the found footage, handheld.
Yeah, that found footage camcorder style.
Because I don't think there's any monsters rampaging across in this one.
There does seem to be some destruction, but
well,
not monsters.
Count the little person they find in the oven.
I didn't notice that.
It's right at the end of the trailer. It's pretty hilarious. I watched the Red Band trailer.
Oh, okay. Recorded. I have not seen the Red Band trailer yet.
It's actually kind of funny, and there are a lot of boobs in it.
Well, I think we need to pause recording and go check out that Red Band.
No, we don't, because I really need to go to bed.
Oh, well.
Is it 80s movie
be
level?
That way.
I'm sorry.
Is it 80s level?
I'll let you two jackals talk about Mass Effect. I mean, come on.
That was nice, yeah.
It wasn't like, I mean, it was gratuitous, but it wasn't like, hey, we have to have boobs in it, like,
okay,
fair enough
style. So little person gets out of the oven and runs around punching everybody in the dick, so that was pretty good.
including
the guy with the camera.
I think this is something, you know what, oh god, we need camcorders at Sausage Fest 3.
No, we don't.
You know, bullshit. We could make a movie.
Morality clause.
I'm not going to wear a mask all night, Tony.
That's what visual effects for. We could get a Kickstarter account for visual effects. We get Chibi. We'll just get Chibi to do it.
Just gonna draw on some like really awkward, simple like white face and just like, you know, have it awkwardly transposed on my body.
That would be hilarious. Just a smiley face with that makes different expressions. Like in Moon. Have you seen Moon?
Yes.
Yeah. So like the robot's face. It's just a big smiley face that just changes emoticon expressions throughout the evening. Your body with an emoticon face.
So, I don't know if there's anything else to say about Project X. It's, you know, it's opening in 3,055 theaters. It's not going to be number one. I guess we'll see where everybody ends up putting it.
Yeah.
By where everybody ends up putting it, that means you.
It is. So let's cut to the chase. Enough with the asides, Jonathan. Let's get on.
No, I'm sorry that I just keep running us off the rails. But.
Look, squirrel. So short and sweet. Number one, Lorax gonna make buckets and buckets. They're gonna have to fire up some printing presses just to produce the amount of money that's gonna be made by this movie this weekend. Project X at number two. Especially for a February release, it's going to make a ton of money. Project X at number two, but it's March now. At number three, Act of Valor. At number four, Journey 2. At number five, Good Deeds. Because I think we all know, I'm even a little worried about putting Good Deeds at number five because Tyler Perry movies tend to tank the second weekend out.
Somebody has like 60%. The dailies.
I don't put a lot of stock in the dailies, my man.
All right.
But, I mean, Tyler Perry's movies tend to drop like 60% the second weekend out. So I'm even a little worried about putting it there. But those are my picks. So I believe I need to toss it to Jonathan now.
Yeah. Unfortunately, ditto.
Really?
Woo!
Wow. Yeah,
I'm going to be on top for another week.
Unfortunately.
Wow. I'm going to be contrary, but not very contrary. So I'm gonna pick The Lorax at number one.
Project X number one.
No, let's get a little realistic here. Lorax at number one. Project X at number one. Act of Valor. I'm sorry. I'm hedging my bets. Damn it! You noticed
to the dollar, to the cent. Penny.
That's right.
Lorax at number one. Project X at number two. Act of Valor at number three. I'm actually going to go with Safe House at number four.
Wow.
I was going to go with Good Deeds at number four and Safe House at number five. Mm-hmm. But I think there's going to be a stronger drop-off for Good Deeds. And I don't know. I'm making these bets against things that are at the bottom of the list anyway. So I have a feeling that even if I pick really, really poorly, Safe House is probably going to end up at worst, at like absolute worst in seventh. So I'm sticking with it though. I'm sticking with my pick. I think it could end up in fourth. So I'm gonna pick Safe House at fourth and Good Deeds in fifth. That's
ballsy right there.
That's my picks.
Yeah,
that's ballsy, but I appreciate it.
But if you look at the dailies, it's not as ballsy as it seems. And I think Journey 2 is going to – I think some wind's going to be knocked out of its sails with the Lorax coming in. I tend
to agree with that. I just don't think it'll get that much knocked out of it compared to Safe House that dropped, you know, 57% this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And William, we already have picks from William as well. You know, William of the Results Show fame, although I thought his voice was a touch high this weekend.
I got to say, Lena did a great job.
I haven't listened to it yet. I think it dropped yesterday, and I don't usually get a chance to listen to it to the weekend. But
yeah,
I did
listen to it, and I think she did a great job. When things went bad here the other night, I was actually on Skype with her, talking her through how to do some of the editing, and had to rush off real quick, but she did a great job, man. I think it worked out really well, and it's nice to have a backup for William that's not me
or me.
Yeah, I tried.
I noticed. I just decided that I wasn't going to respond to that tweet.
Just ignore it. It's best. Yep. I didn't see that tweet. I don't know what you're
talking
about.
I'm not going
about.
To engage in this conversation because however it ends out, it's not going to be great.
I did like Williams. I think I'm going to pull an Andrew this week.
But speaking of William, his picks, he also had the Lorax at number one. He threw Act of Valor at number two. Good Deeds at number three. Mm. Safe House, he agrees with you on Safe House. He also put it at number four. And Journey 2 at number 5. So there you go.
I think those are fairly solid. I don't know about Good Deeds at number 3, but
yeah,
maybe he knows something we don't.
And S is apparently going to ditto someone again this week, but I'm not sure who yet. She's thinking about it. BD, though, has got his picks in. He's got Lorax at number 1, Project X at number 2, Act of Valor number 3, Good Deeds at number 4, and Journey 2 at number 5. And now I guess the real question is, who is Leno going to ditto this week? Tony is the lucky man.
Look at that.
So whatever Tony said earlier that I've forgotten, I remember Safe House number 4, but otherwise I don't remember his pick. Whatever he said.
I can repeat Leno it real quick. The Lorax right. at number 1, Project X at number 1. Act of Valor, Project X nice. Number 2, Act of Valor in 3rd, Safe House in 4th, and Good Deeds in 5th.
All right, man, I think that'll do it. Let's stick a fork in this thing, and I've got some Mass Effect to play. I think Jonathan's got some sleep to catch. Tony, what are you going to do after the show?
I think I might play some Mass Effect as well.
Ooh, Mass Effect, brother, I love it. So until next week, we are the Backseat Box Office.
Have a good one.
I did just kick your ass again in Hero Academy, Andrew.
See ya!